again at verses 10 through 17. As we conclude this series, I want to ask you if you've enjoyed it. That's not the right question. It's not a matter of enjoying it. It's, has it been beneficial to you? Have you grown through a study of God's Word? And I trust that you have, as His Word does not go forth void of returning for the purposes in which it was sent. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Gracious Heavenly Father, teach us what we need to know today, Lord, in a manner in which we would apply it to our lives, so that you might be glorified in how we live. That, Lord, our lives would show an absolute dependence upon you and a willing participation on our part to do what you have called us to do. And so, Lord, hide your servant behind the cross and speak through these lips of clay eternal words of truth. Speak to us. Make yourself known. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's not enough to learn, obviously. When we read through Scripture, it's a matter of learning, having our eyes open and our ears open, and then absorbing the things that God is saying to us so that it might work a work within us. When we look through this, and we could spend much more time than even what we have on putting on the whole armor of God, that is the first and foremost most important thing. It is not learning of the armor of God, but rather it is putting it on. It is taking it unto us. It is girding ourselves or shodding our feet, however word you want to put there. It's the reality that what God is teaching us here is to be active within our lives, that we put on Christ in the form of this armament. We are to be standing, and that word, as we have discussed, is not simply a standstill, but a standing in the sense of being established, firmly established upon Christ. We have discovered, I think, in a setting of this, that we are very weak. At least I hope that's what we have discovered, and that our feelings need to be protected by the truth, the belt of truth, that our desires of our heart need to be directed by righteousness, that we need to be mobile according to His covering of our feet, enabled and directed by the gospel of peace. We need to stand behind and be guarded behind a covering of faith over all of us, that our minds must be clear in our thinking, not entangled with the lies of this world, but standing on the truth of our salvation, which is in Jesus Christ. Now you'll notice that when you go through those are all very good, aren't they? And very necessary. If we recognize that we are weak, we recognize we need all of that armament for our protection. But that is not complete, nor could it ever be complete. For God has not only provided for our protection, but now we turn to an offense, not simply a defense, but an offensive weapon in this two-edged sword. You can imagine the Apostle Paul looking out of his prison windows and seeing these soldiers maybe in marching formation, and they would have had those shields close together. You know, they would form a wall, really, and yet they would have it's a fairly short sword, double-edged, kind of stocky and a chiseled point on it. And what they would do in warfare is as they move forward, this would be their weapon, and it would come out piercing out from behind that shield. It wasn't a wailing away of a long sword or anything like that, but rather is a very direct weapon that was meant to pierce to the heart of the issue and take care of it. And yeah, I want you to notice here, it is but one weapon. It isn't a multitude of weapons, it is one weapon, a multitude of defensive things and one offensive weapon. I was thinking about this in the early morning hours today, and I was thinking about how we come to faith in Christ as a child. Isn't that true? You can barely walk, right? And in fact, you can't walk. You come as this babe, and he welcomes you into the family, children of God, and then he begins this process of maturing you. How many of you are in that process of being matured? Put your hands up in the air. I trust that you are, right? Right? Because God never intended for you to remain a child. He never intended for us to simply be defensive, standing against the blows of the wicked one. He never intended for us to crawl inside of a tin can, as it were, and just simply take a beating and still stand. No, what he did is he provided all of those things because we truly are weak and we are in need of it. But then as we mature, now he has granted to us a weapon. You know, you stop and think about it. I would never put a weapon into a child's hand because I got to know how to use it. You know, this could be a dangerous thing, couldn't it, if it wasn't used correctly? And that's why the Apostle Paul would say to Timothy that you rightly divide the Word of God, that you learn how to use this thing for the benefit and for the glory of God. You know, I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Be careful of the preaching that you listen to. There's this thing, exegesis, and it's where we take a passage of Scripture and we talk about it. We express it. I hope you know that that's what I strive to do on every occasion. I start first with the Word of God, and then I articulate that to you. I am amazed when I listen to preaching how often that pattern is not followed. This is something that was taught to me by my father. If you're in attendance in this church at any time in the 30 years that my dad pastored here, and years before that in other situations, he always started with a reading of God's Word, then into prayer, and then began to articulate the message. But what's happening in the church in many cases is topical teaching. What happens in the church in many cases is not exegesis, but esegesis. And some man starts with an opinion about something and then gets Scripture to conform to what it is that he thinks. It is absolutely backwards. Now, let me be very clear. Scripture speaks to every situation in your life. But we start with Scripture. Because this sword, this Spirit sword, the Word of God, is not in any way to be understood that it is your opinion. For it is not. For God did not come in order that he might be conformed to you, but rather he came that you might be conformed to him. Therefore, we need a new mind, a different way of thinking on things, a different priority within our days, because we were contrary to God, and now he has begun this process within us of turning us around to be conformed unto his will, his thoughts, his word, his teaching, and therefore, it is his word who comes first. Now, I cannot overstate this. And I cannot overstate the necessity that you have a spiritual weapon within your hands. As I say that, I am well aware of the biblical illiteracy that has encapsulated our nation as a culture, and unfortunately, is alive here as well. Can you imagine any soldier going into warfare not carrying his weapon? And yet, I don't say this to bring condemnation upon you, but I say this to encourage you. Don't be foolish. There's a battle for your soul. And if you are not equipped with the Word of God, you go naked. I am convinced today that so many Christians are willing to put on some armament because they recognize they're safe, but they're like a child. I believe that God can make armor, and I believe He does make armor to fit a child. But He puts the sword into the hand of a man who is able to use it correctly, rightly dividing the Word of God. I have all kinds of notes written down and I haven't looked at them yet. Because what I'm trying to tell you is encapsulated in every page of the Bible. Do you recognize in the very beginning, it was what God spoke that brought all things into existence? Do you know how many times within Scripture we read, "Thus saith the Lord"? It's over 1,000 times. Do you recognize that when Jesus said, "The words that I speak are not my words, but the words of the Father"? Do you recognize that the Holy Spirit reminds us of everything that Jesus said? Do you recognize within Scripture that Jesus said, when you're drugged before magistrates and councils and things of that nature, don't worry about what you are to say, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say? Do you understand that? That the power of God from the beginning of time until the very end of time is encapsulated in what He has said. You see, because when we look at this, the sword of the Word being the sword of the Spirit, we look at it and we've got to diagnose what that means. You see, because John 1 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the Logos, that's the mind of God. We get the word logic from it. You want to know what God thinks? Look at Jesus and it'll tell you what God thinks. But it's not just what He thinks. It's what He said. Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. What is the issue? The lie of Satan. Did God really say? Because the authority of God is found in the words of God. And He has spoken. In Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that in divers times and different ways God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament. In these last times He has spoken unto us through Jesus Christ, the express image of His person and the brightness of His glory. Know this, the Word became flesh, the Logos became flesh, but this is the Rhema, this is the articulation of God. This is the Word of God that caused all things to come into existence. This is the Word of God, for by faith you come by the Word of God. This is the power of the voice of God. And He has articulated to us. Have you heard the voice of God? And then God, in His wonderful mercy and grace, has taken everything He said, everything we need to hear from God, and He's put it in one single book. And you know what we do with it? We discard it. We let dust cover it. We don't turn to it. We manipulate it. We try to change it. We pick and choose what we're going to read and what we're not going to read. And we enter into battle with the evil one where we are to have victory. And we enter into it and we fall flat. Why? Because we have not read, we have not learned, we have not accepted the Word of God into us in order to live according to it. That's the simple, honest truth for your life today. If you are not gaining victory over the evil one and his temptations and his lies, it is because you have entered into battle not equipped with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and it is a spiritual battle. Now, what happens when we don't do that? Well, the exact same thing that happened in the garden. Eve turned to a tree instead of God who created the tree. Now, you see, somebody would say, Pastor, what are you doing here today? Don't you know there's only 3 Sundays until Christmas? Did you not pick up your bulletin early in the week and find out we were singing Christmas hymns? Maybe, Pastor, you should have planned this a little bit better. Maybe you should have stayed home last week and preached this so you could be ready to preach a Christmas message today. But what I'm telling you is this is a Christmas message. Because way back in the book of Genesis, it was prophesied that the son of the woman would crush the head of the evil one. You see, Jesus came born a babe in a manger, but he spoke with authority because it was the word of God. And the victory has been won for you and me because of what Jesus said that aligned with what he did, that defeated the enemy. And yet somehow we discard that. Somehow we think we don't need that. You'll find Jesus on every page in your Bible. And you will find this as well. He didn't create you to simply endure behind armor. He meant you to be a conqueror and an overcomer. All you have to do is open up your Bible and find that to be true. You go to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. There are 7 letters written to 7 different churches. Now, truly, those were actual historical churches in Asia Minor. They're actually laid out for us in perfect order as to how those letters would have been delivered. Some people believe, as I do, that it also speaks to different ages of the church. And some people believe that on any given Sunday, I can be speaking to people of the church at Ephesus that meet that description. I can be speaking to the people of Sardis who meet that description, or Laodicea, or any of the 7 churches. But do you know what Jesus says to each one of those churches? For those who overcome, and we are meant to be victorious. And the only way you're going to go from a defensive posture to an offensive terror for God is to take the word of God with you. It is the only way. Now, we could look at all sorts of examples. I'm not sure why I wrote anything down. I mean, you can go back to Judges, can't you? Can't you go back to a young man named Gideon? And the Midianites, the enemies, were coming upon them like a horde of locusts. And God called Gideon. He says, I'm going to make you a man of war. And Gideon said, what, me? Yeah, you. Because it wasn't going to be Gideon doing it. It was going to be God doing it through Gideon. And so Gideon had this army, and God said, no, too big. So he whittled it down. God said, no, too big. So God whittled it down to 300 men against an innumerable enemy. And you remember what they did, don't you? They took pitchers with lamps inside and trumpets. And they broke their pitchers, and the light pierced the darkness. And they blew their trumpets, and the voice of God rang out like a trumpet. And they proclaimed, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, the word of God, won the victory. Now you see, if we don't pay attention, and if we don't hold to the word of God, 3 things will take place. A, we will not know who our enemy is. B, we will grab the wrong weapon. And C, we will fight in the wrong manner. Because all of this is laid out. And what's so spectacular about your Bible is it gives you examples of it. A mob came to take Jesus to the cross. They found him in the garden being pressed. His disciples were with him. And as the mob came to take him, he said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus." And Jesus said, "I am he." And when he spoke those words, they fell to the ground because the power is in the word. And then you remember Peter? Do you remember Peter? Impetuous Peter? What did he do? He pulled the sword from his scabbard and he sliced off the high priest's servant's ear, a guy by the name of Malchus. And you remember what Jesus said? "Wrong sword, Peter. Put that rusty old thing back in the sheath." Because if you remember, in the Old Testament, the Lord says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." The Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, is the Word of God. And he reached down and he picked up that ear and he put it back on the man's face. Why? Why? Because Jesus didn't come to battle to kill people. He came to save people. His battle wasn't against people. He came to save the people that nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. He came to save the people that despised him. He came to save the people who whipped him and ripped the beard from his face and mocked him and wagged their tongues and their heads at him. Jesus came to save those people. He didn't come to condemn the sinners, but to save them. You see, sometimes we get our eyes off the fact that our enemy is the evil one. Our enemy is the unknown, unseen one. Our enemy is not our neighbor. And so what we do is we reach for the wrong sword. And our actions are the wrong actions. It's throughout Scripture. When really, what we have is simply our testimony and sharing the Word of God and what God says. I'm going to look at my notes. Now you're all in trouble because we're going to be here for a long time. And I even had planned on saying I'm sorry for this, but I'm not going to do it. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We got to understand this battle. We got to understand we know what our weapon is. It's the Word of God, the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. We know who our enemy because it's a spiritual battle of a spiritual unseen nature. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, we read these words: "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." You see, you look at that passage and then you look at Peter, you look at that example of Peter. What is he trying to do? He's exhibiting vengeance upon this high priest servant. But what did Jesus say in Romans chapter 12? Do you notice did you hear that, what I just said? What did Jesus say? He said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Now, I don't know about you, but I have heard the voice of God. Haven't you? So when someone comes against you to do hard things to you, what do you do? Do you take out vengeance upon them? Do you grab that sword? Or do you grab the sword of the Lord? Do you grab the word? Do you live in accordance to the word? Oh, I know this confronts you because it confronts me. But what I'm telling you today is you cannot go into battle based upon your own opinion. You can't go into battle taking part of the word. You got to go into battle according to what God has said. And that's what God has said. And that's why Jesus rebuked him. You remember earlier in John's gospel? Jesus was talking about this very thing. I'm going to go into Jerusalem. I'm going to be, you know, subject to these people, and I'm going to be crucified. You remember what Peter said? Oh, not you, Lord. Can you imagine? He began to rebuke Jesus. Why? Because he had the wrong sword. And you remember what Jesus said to him? Get behind me, Satan, because you savor the things of men and not the things of God. How do you battle? What's your attitude towards people that stand in objection to you? What's your attitude towards people who are hostile to the gospel? What's your attitude to the person, like my wife had the experience when the person in a conversation said, I don't care what the Bible says. What's your attitude towards that person? You ready to pull out a sword? I'm honestly. Because if that's your attitude, you haven't pulled out the Word of God. You've pulled out things that the world does, not the things God does. You see the importance of this? If we're not going equipped with this spiritual sword, the Word of God, the spoken, written Word of God, then we are not going to know who our enemy is. We are not going to pull out the right sword. And we are going to use the sword we pull out in an ungodly manner. In an ungodly manner. John 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, the words that he speak, the spirit quickens, and the words that he speak are spirit and in life, and are life. Luke 12 and verse 12 tells us of this unction. The Holy Spirit teaches us what to speak, reminding us in John 14, 26 of all the things that Jesus had said. I want to remind you that Hebrews chapter 4 in verses 12 and 13, this two-edged sword cuts through to the middle of things, even the discerning of our minds and our thoughts. And then if you would turn to Revelation, because as I stated earlier, the Word of God is the authority, and the Word of God is our weapon in all of Scripture. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 15, we read these words, speaking of the coming of Jesus. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress in the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And then if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 12, we find this. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 11. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. What is your testimony today? Is your testimony based on the truth of what God has said? When you enter into discussions with people who have this lie within their minds that they are not worthy, or that they don't need, or that they're good enough, or or that they just simply don't want Jesus. How does your conversation go? Do you present that it's just your opinion? Or do you proclaim your testimony is based on the truth of the Word of God? I trust that you have conformed to His Word, not conformed Him unto you. The victory Christ came, He has delivered. And though the battle rages, the victory is sure. Christmas message? Absolutely. That babe came to defeat the evil one. And that was accomplished on the cross. And because Christ is my victor, I am victorious in Him when I hold fast and battle with His Word.